You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
One of the first things that I thought of is this move by Gronk now, it's a giant middle finger at Bill Belichick. Isn't it saying maybe Lane Johnson was right when he was like, man, they just don't have any fun. You know what we had? Philadelphia, you know what we had? Now, we don't have six Super Bowls, but we had fun. We have fun, and it's fun. And Brady going to the Bucks is just saying, I've had enough, man. I know I've been, what was I there, 20 years, and I never won Player of the Week with leading six Super Bowls. Yeah, I mean, dude, it's just wearing on you. I want to, you know, Belichick is getting towards the end anyway. But I don't know that there's a bunch of, you know, and this is going to be the case with Bill O'Brien, too, with that crap that came out yesterday with DeAndre Hopkins, and I say crap because it is crap. I had zero relationship. How many guys, they asked behind the scenes, hey, DeAndre, what do you think about going to the Texans? Yeah, have fun with that. Hey, Brandon Brooks, what do you think about playing for the Texans? Yeah, go have fun with that. Hey, Deshaun, what do you think about playing? Well, Deshaun will want him as long as he's here. These guys are just saying, you know what? I want to play football. Gronk's like, oh, I've got a renewed. I want to play football again. You know why? Because I don't have to do it in New England.
Well, maybe that's true, but maybe also Gronk never struck me as a guy who's like, man, I'm just not having fun. I never said that ever about Gronk. Gronk looked like he had fun, and I don't get the feeling that Gronk is a guy that's really going to be his fun is going to be impacted by. Anyone. I don't, Bill Belichick included. There used to be a lot of guys who love playing for Belichick, but that's a more serious-minded player. If you're not into, like, if winning doesn't just, and Tom Brady was there for damn near 20 years, so that's a long time to stay with one guy taking many times less money if he wasn't serious about staying there. That was also kind of a mutual parting of the ways between those two sides. Let's not forget that, because that was talked about a couple of years ago that they might be parting ways. So
yeah,
I think it was kind of mutual, to be honest with you.
All the crap about his personal trainer and that offseat, you know, that all that crap that went down, and you know, and it, that he came out and listen, he came out and he said, you know, he's given glowing review. Hey, listen, love Bill Belichick and what we did together and everything else, but this is saying, you know what, I need to get away from it. I do. And let's face it, it's not fun. It's not as fun. Playing for Pete Carroll and playing for Bill Belichick are two different things.
Well, yeah, but who cares if it's like?
Well,
I don't
because
know.
Players today do care.
For some guys, it's about fun, but I don't. I think Tom. I think you might be overthinking this. I think Gronk wants to play with his guy. I think a year out of being a football, Gronk strikes me as a guy who I don't care where he was is going to like. Man, I miss it. I miss being out there. Wrestling just ain't the same. Like, I think that dude is probably a guy who's a football player. He's out for a year. He's not the first guy ever to miss the camaraderie and miss the sport. Now he gets a chance to go with his guy, Tom Brady. I think maybe that's more what it is than a big FU to Bill Belichick. I don't, because if that was the case, if there was acrimony, Bill Belichick never had to trade Rob Gronkowski. As a matter of fact, if it was acrimonious at all, he would have just let Gronkowski sit. He wouldn't have moved him at all for a fourth round pick.
Well, no, if Gronk came back, Gronk, he gets paid $10 million. He had to move him. He had no choice.
No, but Gronk doesn't come back if he sits with the New England Patriots. Gronk wasn't coming back. It was a dual thing. Gronk's not coming back to sit with the Patriots and Jarrett Stidham.
Well, why not? If Gronk said, I want to come back for my final year of my contract, I'm coming back.
Oh,
yes,
they might
force
still,
that deal.
They might still take him.
They couldn't. They don't have the money. They had to trade him.
Well, hold on. And was he not cuttable at all? Was it all guaranteed?
Yeah. No. They would have had to pay him $10 million, and they knew.
But they only have to pay him if he plays. Like, Gronk also has to play with them.
Right. Yeah,
but they
absolutely
have money, though.
But that's right. They didn't have the money to do it. So they were forced to trade him.
Are you sure they don't have money?
Yes. Yes, they don't have the money to pay him. No.
Who are they paying?
Gilmore.
That's one player.
Yeah. No.
Don't they have take a look. Thuny under a franchise tag as well? Aren't they trying to come to a deal with Joe Thuny?
Yeah, you're right, because as of April 21st, they have $2.1 million under salary cap, which is a huge issue. Once Gronk comes out of retirement, New England would have to immediately make room for his $12 million cap hit.
Yep. No, they had to, you know what? And it worked out perfect scenario. And, you know what? They picked up a fourth round. Listen, but that's okay. The leverage was there. Now, everybody knew he wanted to go with his boy to Tampa. Tampa gave up a fourth. Okay. You know, if you want to know the truth, you want to put a valuation on that? Not so bad. You gave up a fourth rounder, which is, you know, how many times, 10% of the time a fourth rounder?
That's great for Tampa. I mean, not Tampa, really both parties, but both for parties. New England to get a fourth rounder for a retired player is phenomenal.
Yeah. And yet for Tampa, you know what? It shows we're all in. We got Rob Gronkowski to come along. We got Brady's whoopee. It's you know what? It worked out for both teams. But it's not, it's, you know, a stupid deal. Both sides, you could argue, nice value. It's a value for both teams.
Have you thought about O.J. Howard and how New England? Yeah, have you guys thought about the fact that New England was like, no, we're good on O.J. Howard. We don't need that. Yeah. Now, also, there is cap implications, too, there.
Right.
But
right.
What have you really thought about the fact that when O.J. Howard came out, we all said, man, he flashes you. But, man, that Clemson game was so nice. But you just want to see that more often. That's the exact same thing we say about O.J. Howard 3 years into his NFL career. Man, you see flashes, but why hasn't it materialized for O.J. Howard? This is who he is. He was this way in college. He's now this way in the pros. You see, and you don't have people that really want to. I don't think there's a market right now, a huge market for O.J. Howard. We're about to find out because I do think he's going to get traded.
Yeah, he probably does. But if he doesn't, it might be the best thing for his career.
But they can't because Cameron Brate, they have too much money. Gronk, Cameron Brate, and O.J. Howard, it's impossible. They have to move one of those guys.
I don't know that it's impossible.
Cameron Brate makes money too.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you're going to go, you know.
The thought is that they're going to get rid of O.J. Howard, is the thought.
Listen, here's the deal, though, is Gronk is going to be on a pitch count to start. He's got to be. I mean, is Gronk going to be on 60 plays?
No, but you're not keeping those three tight ends. Everyone's already said, like, it's a known fact that O.J. Howard is the next to go.
Yeah, no.
I just don't know what he's going.
I know, I realize for. That. But what might be the best thing in the world for O.J. Howard is to be with Gronk and Tom Brady for a year. You know, and learn some consistency, learn how to work, learn how to be a pro, learn how to use that
ain't
body.
Happen.
And oh, by the way, get all the secrets. Was anybody better at without the speed, with just his size, to be able to go up and win all of the battles that Gronk won? The little secrets that Gronk has to get that job done.
He's got dog in him.
If I was a tight end, I would love to spend a year.
O.J. Howard, obviously, he was a guy that Nick Saban and Alabama thought should have come back. They didn't see it. I'm telling you, I just don't think that's O.J. Howard. I think he's always going to be that athletically gifted player who is not going to be a great tight end. And they're going to move him because Cameron Brate costs him a lot of money. And they like Cameron Brate. Now, they could move Cameron Brate, but I think it's easier to move O.J. Howard than Cameron Brate right now.
Probably still on his rookie deal. Probably. Maybe he's got a little Jadeveon Clowney in him. I don't know.
How about Clowney having no market?
How about that?
Clowney having no market.
Oh, maybe Bill O'Brien was right about this.
No. I don't want to speak for you, but I never thought Bill O'Brien was wrong about wanting to move Clowney. But if you're not going to get what you want, if you're going to get a third round pick, you could play him last year and still get a third on a compensatory deal. It didn't make any sense not to at least get a second. That never made sense.
Right. Although the market might not be there for a second. Hell, nobody wants to sign him.
Yeah, because Bill O'Brien, one thing we've seen with him is he really exploits the market.
Right. No. If there's a market out there for somebody, don't worry. You can find a second rounder for DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, that's the market. That was the market.
We don't make knee-jerk decisions.
Well, you kind of do. You don't care about draft slots is what I think.
Care about, you know, draft slots. I don't care about money. I don't care about any of those things.
It's not my job to do that.
Yeah, it really is your job to care about draft slots. It really is.
I don't think you guys really care what I say, just like I don't really care what you say.
No, I'm starting to care what you say. I am. I really am starting to care what you say. Okay? Yeah.
He's playing all the hits. By the way, John, are you aware at all that Dell has a sweet beard now?
I don't have a sweet beard now. It's shaved.
Did you shave it?
Yes.
Well, you got these bright lights in my face. I can't see anything.
That's fine. I don't want you looking at me. I don't need you observing.
Why did you shave the beard?
Because I woke up. What day did I wake up? I woke up Monday to get ready for work. I couldn't sleep, and I woke up, and I was like, I looked in the mirror, and I looked at myself, and I said, you know who you look like? Your dad from those pictures you saw in the 70s. Like, I'm out.
And you immediately ejected?
Yeah, and it wasn't even a – and then this is like just getting up, so it wasn't like, oh, you look like your dad when he's taking a picture and he's been up for like 4 hours, so he looks okay. I was like, oh, this is rough. It's got to go. The beard's got to go.
So, was there any gray in that beard?
There's around the chin, but that's not the reason I shaved it. It's just that it was enough. I was like, ugh, all right, I'm out. I had it going for about 3 weeks, really since we decided to do this thing where no one's in the building except for like one producer. I was like, I see people like once every couple days. What do I care? And then I saw it. I was like, nah, just get a haircut and shave the beard. I'm done.
Wow.
But I had it going for about 3 weeks, but nah, looked too much like my dad.
Yeah, see, I see that every once in a while too. And when I had a beard for 2 days, guys, this weekend.
It's not a beard. It's not a beard. Yeah. If you have growth for 2 days.
Yeah, I had 2 day growth. It was a beard, and I was the same with you. Man, I look like my dad. Forget about this. No, well, I got way too much gray in there. I don't know why guys with gray hair or with black hair and they got a gray beard. Why you want to do that? You make yourself look older. I don't get that. I don't get that.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't have.
When you're too young to have gray. You had gray in there?
I had around my chin. Yeah, just around the chin area. But I don't have any
Emmett Smith you got going on.
But I don't have any gray hairs on my head. So it'll get you. It'll catch you unaware. You're like, what is this? You know, the most important thing, no gray hair in that other place.
What?
You heard me.
That is one of the weird things. Guys in their 30s on a regular basis, if they let their facial hair grow out, they start to find out. Like, I see it on TV shows a lot, movies, where I realize, man, sometimes you just catch that gray beard. I mean, I had some gray in my hair by my late 20s, I had some gray in my hair. My mom had it too. So it's now people act like my hair looks like Polly Walnuts. With the side gray on the side, or like
French fried potatoes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see that Bill O'Brien feller just traded for another banged up wide receiver, and then they don't even have no heart and no draft picks left.
Mm-hmm. Can Sling Blade analyze the Texans picks on Monday?
Might as well.
Well, they got this one feller who played defensive line and all that. Suppose he might be able to make a tackle and whatnot, but might not. There's going to be another guy there that played around the Watt feller, what raised all the money up for Houston.
Can you imagine John hyping up an appearance by Carl Childers, which is the guy's name? At 8:30, we're going to have Carl Childers on to analyze the Texans weekend.
Draft analyst.
Carl Childers.
Well, I was wondering why they didn't pick that Chaisson feller out of LSU, but they say his arms are a little bit short. I don't know whether or not that's true or not, but where did J.J. Watt all that money go? I don't know. I didn't see no houses get built up. He raised a bunch of money, and I just saw him putting bottled water in people's pickup trucks and all that there.
Bottled water is expensive.
I never saw a school get built.
Let's take a break. Don't go after Chase.
James Harden got them dancers and all that.
8:16, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, I went in there in the house, and I hit Jesse Dixon upside the head with it, knocked him off my mother. I reckon that didn't quite satisfy me. So I hit him again with it in the neck with a sharp edge and just plumb near cut his head off.
Then I also saw what they had, that slot receiver out of Ohio State, K.J. Hill. He run I suppose a pretty good route, but ain't very fast. Couldn't get away from Sling Blade, what they call the Kaiser Blade. And, I suppose he got two catches for 17, but that wasn't near enough. Say, whatever happened to that cutie fella, what the Texans had that broke his leg in half from them?
Yeah, hamstrings.
He ain't never been the same after on them jet sweeps and wide receiver screen and all. They say he's going to be pretty good in the fantasy footballs, but I don't see him playing games and all that. But I suppose Brandon Cooks will be pretty good for second round pick and all. Hey, that old brother Ryan Feller's got a pretty good deal over there with the owner. That owner ain't never spoke in 2 years. I don't reckon he can speak. Maybe hold a door.
holding the door.
Maybe he can hold a door. Let that other pastor get in there and make a draft pick. I reckon if God tell you to pick a player, you're going to be a pretty good player. It seems to me that Texas have a big advantage going right now in football when God making them picks in the second and third round or maybe just third. He gave him Ray most of the first and second. Yeah. You can find pretty good God-fearing people in a third round, too.
Mm-hmm. Hold the door.
Yep.
Hold the door.
God ought to get him a cornerback in the third. Maybe press man corner, long arms.
Yeah.
Perhaps cause some problems down the field for him now. That Brian guy, he yells pretty good cuss words to people. Surprised the pastor put up with that, not hit him in the back of the neck with a Kaiser blade.
Wasn't good enough for me, so I decided to use a sharp end.
What? Seemed like that one Jesus fella that got there, Easterby, he'll take his head plumb off, become the GM himself. Suppose that could happen. We get yelled at too much. Prayer shirt going off.
Hey, don't think that's not a possibility that Easterby makes a play when O'Brien falls flat on his face, that Easterby doesn't make the play.
Just the most Game of Thrones thing of all time.
Oh, my God.
If that happened.
You don't think that could happen? Okay.
BK wants to know, Texas Phil wants to know, can Bill O'Brien keep that 2016 boys thing going and sign Percy Harvin too?
Yeah, Percy Harvin's out there.
He's running up one of those ramps like you see at the airport where, you know, it's the circular thing, and they've show him running there.
Slow motion.
Josina Anderson said he's 185 pounds. First of all, Percy Harvin is known as one of the meanest guys in football. Beat up Golden Tate.
Blumner took his hat off.
Threatened to beat up Russell Wilson, which is what got him traded out of Seattle. And he's not, again, we know he's dealt with migraines and whatnot, but he's not a super nice guy. There's stories out there about Percy. It feels like Percy's coming back for one reason, to play in a slot for the Tampa Bay Bucks, or at least that's how he's trying to sell himself. I don't want him with the 2016 boys. We've got enough of older players who play the slot. There's a glut, frankly, with the 2016 boys. Do you think he was drafted a first-round pick in 2019? I mean, would Tampa – they are all in for 2 years. This is all this is. Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady, that team's going to look totally different. I was already told, don't mock anybody at all who is a developmental player at all to Tampa Bay. None of their picks are going to be for the future. It's all, you better be able to play right now and start right now if they draft you.
And who do you have going?
Well, down? I don't know. I got to do my mock today, but I know they're trying to get an offensive tackle. And if you don't get one in the top four, if you don't get one of the top four tackles, you're not getting a guy who should be playing right away. That's on everybody. Josh Jones, Austin Jackson, Isaiah Wilson, all of them.
Well, I was thinking yesterday, you know, Bruce Arians has had some unbelievable great quarterbacks, right? Peyton Manning and Kurt Warner. And to go from Jameis to Tom Brady this year, it's like I can't even imagine how. And, you know, obviously, you know, he's had greats. So it's not like he's going to be starstruck or not know how to relate or whatever, you know, be afraid to. But Tom Brady, the knowledge that Brady has and, you know, combining those two, because Arians is a sharp, what an offensive mind that dude is, right?
Right, right.
I mean, those two sitting down, wouldn't you love
so Arians, to
have them watching, to watch them watch film together?
Nah, see, I think it's, so Arians, I think, understands how to push the ball vertically. I think I don't know that Arians is some kind of offensive genius, to be honest with you. Arians basically says, we're going to block with fewer players so that we can get more out in the route, and we're going to find ways to stress the defense and attack them vertically. Tom has not been that, but just between me, you, Dell, and whoever else is listening, I had to do a hit with Coward about one of the things. It was about Tom Brady's fit in Tampa. So instead of me just guessing, I reached out to Arians because I still have his number, and he'll text things like, thanks, bro. When he got the job, man, congrats, BA. You'll do a great job. Thanks, bro. That's typically what he does. This time when I texted and I asked about Tom's fit because Bruce is so vertical with his passing game, and that's not who Tom is. And he just texted back that we're going to do whatever fits best. And he said there's a lot of options inside our passing game that we have other options inside the passing game to fit different types of quarterbacks. He said it's not just vertical stuff. He said we've got stuff that fits Tom Brady, and then we're going to have Tom Brady tell us what he wants to do, and that's what we're going to be doing. And so I think for people who think it's going to look substantially different for Tom, why in the world would you bring in the greatest quarterback of all time and say, hey, listen, we want you to play an offense you're not super comfortable in? I don't think they will now with better.
I didn't say that. What I said was no. Two minds together.
No, right,
and,
right,
and
right.
I think no,
that's a
I
different
think,
argument
I think,
that's out
I think,
there.
I think it's going to be Brady's going to be perfect for this because he does like to just block with five, or you know he'll keep a running back in. But Brady makes quick decisions. It's not going to be throwing the ball down. It's going to be hitting hot reads when you're supposed to. It's going to be throwing the ball to guys as opposed to the other team 30 times like Jameis did. I just think I would love to be in a room or those two guys right now going back and forth watching film together on Zoom or whatever and talking about different things and the way that they see things. I mean, I just think it would be those two minds put together here in where they are in their careers and how much they've seen. I mean, because let's say Bruce Arians he's had some great quarterbacks, and I was just thinking yesterday how awesome it would be just to hear them talk football.
Yeah. I think Tom. I mean, to me, it's Tom and Peyton. That's the ultimate conversation that I would love to hear. Although we wouldn't even know half of what they're talking about. You recognize that? Like,
yeah,
in terms
right.
of their conversations would be about different fronts that they see, different coverage looks. It would be so hardcore football that it would be beyond a lot of people who haven't played at a certain level or played the position or whatever the case may be. Because they're not talking – they might talk some concepts, but they're probably getting deep down in the X's and O's is my guess.
Oh yeah, deep where you're like, what? What'd they say? What? Now, what was that? Yeah. I wonder, you know what? But without as many reps and everything out that's going on here, you know, Brady will learn the terminology. The terminology is going to be different, and you're not going to change all the terminology for Tom Brady because everybody else has the terminology from last year. Brady's going to have to, but he's going to go, well, you know, Brady's going to think in Patriot terms. It's like learning a new language. Oh, that's hair. That's palo. That's, you know, that's face. That's cara. You know what I'm saying? He's going to, that dig route is you're going to call it, you know, whatever you're going to call it. This is what we call it there. And I'm going to have to adapt my brain.
Yeah, BA's not changing that.
No.
Not
Brady's going to have to adapt to that.
Yeah. That's a little thing that we don't even think about. If it's not on a video game, we don't think about it. That's what I've noticed, that people don't think, oh, it's hard to change. Can Jedrick Wills change from right tackle to left tackle? Yeah, you just put him at left tackle. He's fine. No, it's just because you can do it on a video game doesn't mean it necessarily works. I think it can, but it doesn't mean necessarily. Well, terminology, who cares? That's no big deal. Actually can be a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, we're in New England with all those years of the same. I mean, it just came second.
Him and Gronk.
Now it's not going to. He's got to think about stuff.
I don't have a problem with Tom Brady having to think about stuff. I think Brady can. Gronk is who I'm worried about. What are we doing? Just run a jab
you
seven.
Know he's gonna say, oh, no,
yell a different
Gronk.
Thing to Gronk.
This is what we called it in New England. That's exactly what
every play
do.
In the huddle is going to take longer to call because he's got to call a separate play for Gronk.
For Gronk.
I don't want to have to do a different learning thing. Okay, yeah. Gronk, I'll just tell you a separate. We'll call it like New England. We'll use terminology. Jet Razor 53 sweep. Gronk, it's 17 Jet Blue 7. Okay, yeah.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Tom. Time to talk about, you know what? Speaking of Gronk, how about some whiskey?
Ooh. So I tore into the Blackland Distillery bourbon yesterday, and the bourbon, so the vodka just won a big award. The bourbon is not only the best seller with Blackland Distillery, it's one of the most heralded as well because it crosses over to so many different types of palates. Like all their spirits that they have at Blackland Distillery, they have a strikingly smooth finish with that Blackland bourbon. And it's because the art of distillation methods that they have, the state-of-art distillation methods and quadruple water filtration systems when proofing and blending. This all goes into the final product. And if you're a bourbon aficionado, you'll recognize that. It's also very good for new bourbon drinkers. Like, for example, my wife is really excited to try it for a cocktail now because it's got a delicate overall corn profile, a little bit of a fruity front palate of sweetness, which when I say that, it's relative to the bourbon, of course. And then there's that clean barrel vanillas and light grain and tobacco flavors. Again, a very soft finish. So it's a perfect sipping whiskey, and it's great with cocktails as well. But everything that Blackland does is done with a very distinctive flavor involved. It's distinctly original, and that's the way Marcus wants it to be. He's put so much time into learning to craft these every single batch, and they're doing gin, vodka, bourbon, and rye. It's Blackland Distillery, one of the hottest distilleries in the entire state of Texas and the country, picking up steam like crazy. Go pick it up at Specs or Total Wine. It's not like you don't have a pandemic. Go get your alcohol. Go get Blackland Distillery.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Lance talked about the Bucks going for players who don't need a lot of development because they're all in with Brady and Gronk maybe only being there for 2 years. If you want to maybe hear who the Bucks draft, you can tune in to us. NFL draft coverage on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Rexel. The coverage begins Thursday at 6 p.m., continues Friday at 5, and Saturday at noon. Visit RexelUSA.com to learn more about their services. Now back to John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Dell, big deal that Clemson lost that defensive lineman from California?
I mean, it's only a big deal because it breaks a streak of them not having a decommitment since like 2017. The only time they've ever lost a player really since in that time period is like for academics where the kid wasn't going to qualify, but a kid hasn't decommitted from Clemson since 2017. That's why it's a big deal. They get the guys. They say, hey, if you visit someplace else, we'll pull your scholarship. And because of their success, most guys have said, okay, nah, I'm good. Now, they had a player last year, Justin Flo, he's a five-star who committed to Oregon. Apparently, they tried that with him. Hey, you need to commit now, but if you do, you can't travel. He's like, I mean, you can't visit other places. He goes, you know what? I'm not committing because you can't do that to me. I have options. And he eventually committed to Oregon. So it's news, but it doesn't hurt Clemson that much. They'll find another guy.
Yeah. But, man, this is the beginning of the end for them.
Yeah, I'm sure. If you go look at their class. Look at their class when it comes to December and they're signing guys. They'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm telling you. This is it. You start now, all of a sudden, all kinds of guys are decommitting.
One guy.
Well, and I'm not so sure that, you know, they said, oh, USC is back in it. Georgia, Alabama. I'm not so sure that that isn't about, okay. It seems like USC has picked up their recruits. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to keep a fence around California now, keeping their guys at home, right? Uh-huh. That's the mantra now this year. That means they just, you know what, the briefcase is heavier this
offseason. I mean, you're very cynical. A USC fan would say, look, there's so much turmoil because the recruits didn't know whether Clay Helton was going to be back. They finished, I think, not like 55th in recruiting last year. Now that all the recruits know that Clay's going to be around until we fire him, that they're now committing.
I got to get there to play for Clay Helton.
Or
now.
We can go with your approach and say the bags are out because as an LSU fan, you wouldn't know anything about that.
Okay, go watch the scheme. No, we don't know nothing about that.
No, of course not.
Load up that P-roll.
Yeah.
LSU, the great Ogeron says, hey, we're going to be back at practice by August. College football won't be practicing by August. That's what he said.
I believe that too. I mean, it's 3 months away. It's going to be a lot better.
An administrator from UConn, not that we care about what UConn thinks about football, he said, or I don't know if it's a he or she, the president of UConn, when talking to a class, said fall sports are going to get canceled. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, I got it. This is the math on the deal. It's not just going to go away. Like, you curb it to where it goes all the way down, but everyone says as long as somebody's contagious and it's highly contagious, once you reopen, all you're just going to do is have another surge. And really, the best case scenario is you have multiple surges and you get it, and you get to that immunity, that herd immunity. But that's not going to happen overnight. So I don't think that's the one problem until they can find, unless they have a vaccine. And there's actually a lot of really good news about things that they're working on and trials and. So I actually think that's, to me, John, it's going to be about multiple mass testing, and can they get some type of vaccine that can offer some immunity, even if it's at a 2 month stretch, you know, because that's one of the talks is a vaccine may not be a 1 year deal. It may be you have to get one every 2 months. Hey, whatever it takes. At this point, I'm to a whatever it takes for sports, and that includes playing with limited fans. I know Anthony Fauci, one of your guys, John, believes that it is possible to play some baseball with limited fans. Well, no kidding. As long as we're going through life at a limited distance. The hard thing is when you live in a big city like New York, it's impossible. When you're at a sporting event, it's impossible. My wife had her Berlin Marathon, which she has been, you know, everything was pointing to her being in Berlin Marathon or the Boston Marathon next year, and those things are all getting canceled. And so I think right now, because there's huge groups of people, it's impossible. So baseball, I think baseball could play in front of 15,000 people if it's spread out and you only have a certain amount on every row and every seat. And I think it'd be better. I don't know, John, what do you think? Would it be better to play in front of 10,000 people or zero people? Take no chances with zero people or take some chances but also get some revenue in at 10,000 people in the stands maximum?
I think you could go more than that. These are 80,000 seat stadiums.
No, I'm going baseball. I'm just going baseball right now.
Oh, 40,000 seat stadiums. I think you go almost, you know, 15,000 to 20,000 and still separate.
20 is what? One every
well,
other
seat.
Well,
here's the deal. Lance, we're going to find restaurants opening now that where you're going to be, you know, closer together. I mean, you're going to have to separate tables and whatnot, but you're going to start to find that we're going to start to get some normalcy here, especially with more of these tests, random tests, and we're going to find that the actual how lethal it is, the mortality rate is a lot lower than we thought it was. And there's a big push right now. You're seeing it opening up economies now, and it's I think it's going to start to. And in another month, it's going to be full fledged that people are like, let's get back to normal.
Here's that article. Going against the advice of people who know better.
Yeah, well, or you know, people who are being extremely conservative in a lot of people's views.
Well, there's going to be
this is the argument. It is. I mean, there are people out there right. There are plenty of people out there right now that. I mean, my brother, I was on the phone with my brother yesterday, and he was like, listen, we don't have the right scientific knowledge to be making these decisions. When you have random tests like they're doing in California, and you're testing people that actually don't have any of the symptoms, you're just randomly testing, you're finding out that it's a lot lower than everyone is suggesting that it is.
Well, but it's a lot higher percentage of people who get it. It's the most infectious disease they've seen. That's not talked about.
It's super infectious, transmittable. But it's not nearly as lethal.
But John, did you see the story about how it was transmitted in China by air conditioning, that everyone other than one person in a restaurant got it? That's a new thing that came out that's a bit of a concern.
And frankly, opening up businesses is fine, but the question, I've seen it quite a bit, who's going to feel safe to go in one?
Yeah.
Like, are you going to be – like, if a movie theater opened up in May, and are you going to feel good about walking into one?
August might be different. May
but
is too
we're
early.
Talking about the
– Yeah, May's too early.
Like, we know
me.
Georgia, they're opening up.
Well, if nobody's there, I feel fine. If I have my hand sanitizer.
Yeah, if you're the one person in
I'm
the
matinee. I'm wearing a mask or whatever.
But
yeah.
But for the movie companies who are looking to make money, I don't know. Let's say a Marvel movie is scheduled to be open in May. Are you going to that Marvel movie? In at 7 p.m. on a Friday?
Oh, no.
So my point is places can open, but will the public feel safe enough
to walk in there? The rules are going to be different. I'm just telling you. I talked to LaShane and some other restaurant people about this. It is not – their restaurant business is not the same anymore because, A, what you said, they believe that there's going to be once more and more – once they get the second surge, because there's going to be a second surge and spike once people reopen – that weren't in the line of getting infected, they're going to get infected now. You'll have more fatalities. You'll have, you know, that's all going to happen. The numbers are going to be alarming, blah, blah, blah. But we knew that. We already know that's going to happen. The question is going to be, how does it fundamentally change restaurants where he believes that they're going to have to take out tables? Like you talked about, John,
yeah.
You're going to have massive spacing available to where they may only have half the number of tables in there, and takeout business is going to be huge. And I'm reading an article on Business Insider right now that talks about how, you know, 9/11 changed how we don't think about it now, but 9/11 changed flights in the airline industry majorly, major changes. And they believe the same thing will be true for restaurants as well, that this will fundamentally change restaurants. And we've never gone back with 9/11 changes. We've never loosened up or relaxed things that I can think of. Can you, John? Is anything relaxed at all?
No. Well, I mean, obviously airport security, but
you think it's more lax?
No. But what else has changed other than airport security?
You can't go down. The checkpoints, you have to have everything taken off and do all that stuff.
I'm talking about other than airport security.
Locked cockpits.
Changed?
You have they close the doors earlier.
Yeah, I know.
They close the doors earlier on the flights.
Non plane related. What's changed?
Well, it affected. Well, the disaster was because of planes are so accessible. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know how it would affect a person going to a store, but the incident was because of planes, so it affected how airports
well,
are running.
Everything is fundamentally different for getting to your flight. That's
right.
All fundamentally different. They also locked the doors, I believe, earlier on the flight. They've made some changes on the flight as well. But I think the whole thing, and actually it was a lot tougher. Back closer to 9/11, remember how long, John, you had to be? You had to get there for 2 hours. You had to be there 2 hours early. And you couldn't even think of driving. Oh, you used to be able to just, well, no, maybe they have relaxed that. Remember when you used to, because you can still drive and park and pick people up. But I remember around 9/11, you couldn't just roll up to the airport.
Yeah. No.
But I think that's been changed a little. I think they have loosened that up a little bit.
Right.
Because you get dropped off right there at the flight. You get dropped off.
Yeah. I will be okay, too. I mean, restaurants won't be okay separating people nearly as much. But he said, somebody says, have you ever eaten at a Papacito's? How they stack you on top of each other? That is true.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the move.
No,
smaller restaurants will have some trouble.
Well, even bigger restaurants, you're going to have fewer tables in there, more separation between tables.
Yeah, you have to if you want people to be comfortable going in. And then you have to be comfortable with your food server and touching your glasses and stuff like that, your water glasses. But
right. I don't want them coming over coughing. And,
exactly.
You know, anybody now that coughs.
I'll just be honest with you. I'll be more likely to go get stuff takeout than go in. Me and my wife argue about that, too.
Right. We were talking yesterday about the Woodlands. So what they're doing at Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion is apparently anybody who paid this year for this season, it's all going to be pushed forward to next year. And most of the same artists are all coming back. And so you're going to be able to get, you know, you'll see those same shows because most of those people have all committed. But I was like, well, that's great. Are you going to want to go, though? I mean, are you really going to – okay, the concerts are back on. Are you going to sit next to all of those people that are coming to this thing? Is that really something that you want to do? And that to me, the concert game is going to be, like the sports game, the concert game is going to be – because you're on top of – especially at Cynthia Woods and Mitchell Pavilion, you're on top of each other and you're sweating on each other and it's just – it can't be – you know, and jumping up and down, and everybody's all, you know, standing and crowded as closely as possible. I'm pretty sure that the music game is going to change drastically over the next couple of years. Do you want to go to a concert right now when they come back? Let's say this fall, you know, the old 98s. It'll just be Nicole and the singer.
Nope, that's not
happening. All it'll be.
Well, somebody might risk it all even. Saying goes, I have a show that's at Justin's place, Warehouse Live. They rescheduled it for August. And sure, I want to go. The ticket's already paid for because it was supposed to be in April.
However,
I don't know until I have until they have a way of like the immediate test or I don't know if I want to stand in a room in Warehouse Live for a concert.
When you hear about people like, oh, looks like all these, you know, like in jail. They said, 1,800 prisoners in Ohio all got it. Like, wow, that's a high percentage. Well, that's because this is so easily infectious and spread so rapidly. But I guess once you get it, you feel like, and if you recover, provided you don't have the lung damage that's being talked about, you start feeling like you're Superman. You're like, man, I already had it. I'm going into the restaurant right now. I'm spitting my mouth. Ain't nothing happening to me.
Well, some people like that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I'm saying, hey, that's a fetish thing, sir. Please stop saying that.
Yeah, I'm just serving you your enchiladas. I'm not going to spit in your mouth.
Sir, this is a to-go order. I have no one is trying to spit into your mouth just because you've had this and you survived.
But can I pay extra for that?
Okay, sir. Well, what is the tip going to look like, actually?
Yeah, let's talk business.
These are tough times. Can you tell us what the gratuity might look like? Okay, you tell me what the gratuity might look like for Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. I can tell you what it might look like. You're getting the gratuity of knowing that your payments are going to be lower. They have different programs going on right now, like 0% financing for – oh, look, my music's even on. 0% financing for up to 84 months. Oh, where is the volume here? Well, anyway, like I was saying, 0% financing for 84 months. You have deferred payments for 120 days. That's 4 months. I'll do the math for you. And those are available with my good friends over at Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. On top of that, they have a great selection of vehicles. They deliver it right to your doorstep, and that's something they've done before a pandemic. That's the way they do it out in Angleton. They say, look, we know you're coming out to Angleton. It's a little longer drive. How about we hook you up, and if you can't get it done in person, we can drive the vehicle over to you. And that's the customer service that they continue to offer at Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. Craig DeSurf is a guy that I've put the cape on for years because I feel that strongly about him. He will take care of you. He will get you a great vehicle at a great price. Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. Go to LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 852. John and Lance along with Delver Heels are going to join us on the other side right here. Slappy's on the line. Slappy had it. Slappy, you had the coronavirus?
Yeah, man. I had a friend, a good friend of mine, and she started coughing and hacking and everything out of the blue, and I ended up taking her to the hospital. And I was around her for a couple of days, but then, like, after I went home, I got, like, a headache, the worst headache I've ever had in my life for 3 days straight. So it came in a wave, man. I got better, and then I didn't feel anything. And then, like, 2 days afterwards, I had a fever for, like, 3 days. And I just, like, took hot showers and Tylenol and fasted. I kind of, like, fasted. I didn't eat anything. And I just drank a lot of liquid. And, shoot, I got over it, man. Now she's back at work, and she's negative, so I think I'm negative now.
Did you ever get tested or no?
Yeah, I did. Well, the test we had, It showed that you had it, and it shows that you don't have it anymore. It like indicated that you actually have it.
And oh,
you
really?
You have like antibodies or whatnot in your system,
right?
And then so I got a clean bill of health, but I'm just ready for us to go back to work. Luckily enough, I'm getting paid to sit at home.
Yeah. I think everyone wants that to.
Yeah. So, how do you feel now?
Man, my mentality was like in the beginning was I was gonna go get it. Like I wasn't like trying to be reckless or anything. But I don't have any kids, so I didn't have it to bring it home to. So I was like, I'm gonna go get it. I'm not gonna be scared of it. I'm just gonna be out, but I'm gonna wear my mask and everything. Just be respectful of everybody else's feelings when I'm out and about. So I kind of was relieved that I actually got it and knew that I had symptoms and everything like that, and actually went through the fever, and it was painful. It wasn't as painful. I'll tell you like this. I had the flu last year, and it was not nearly as painful as the flu I had last year. I actually had the flu last year. I was crawling on the floor with chills. This one lasted about 2 days. It lasted about 2 or 3 days.
But you said,
I've been good ever since, man.
But they say you had it for sure, though.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Cause I had it for sure. I have heard 3 to 5 days of the symptoms. That sounds about right.
Yeah, so you didn't eat and you just drank liquids like Coors Light? What did you drink?
Oh, man, wine, dude. I'm drinking wine now.
I'm in. Okay, wait a minute.
Drinking wine now.
Listen, okay, if you could just not eat and just drink alcohol and get rid of it, I'm in.
Were you friends with the girl that gave you that? Were you co-workers or friends with her?
It was kind of like a thing. It kind of happened out the blue because, like, it was a quarantine and chill type thing.
Uh-huh.
So, like, she couldn't be around her family because she has kids. Oh. And so we went and got a hotel for, like, a week.
I'm out. I'm out on this.
Oh. So that's how it's transmitted.
Hold on. I just want to make sure I have the details right. Well, so
this girl had kids,
so we went to a hotel, me and this girl, and it was kind of like a quarantine and chill. I'm like, okay, Art, you just got your answer. He just said, please ask Slappy if at least he smashed on the girl that gave him the corona.
Yes, he smashed. Yes.
Yana, you have to say anything, Slappy. Don't even give answers.
No, he did say it was quarantine and chill.
When he said that, it gave me I kind of had an idea of what's really going on.
Right. God, I didn't know
But it's all good. She's recovered. I'm recovered, and everything's good.
Oh, well, good.
So
right. It ain't like herpes.
Good to talk to y'all guys. And it's been a while.
Slappy.
Appreciate it. Now, hey, I want to hear from anyone else who had it.
How everything is transmitted that way in hotel rooms?
It feels like I don't even want to think about it because I stay in hotel. I had, who is it, Jim Gaffigan, the comedian, who said, Why is it that we're germaphobes everywhere else? You would never, ever, ever think of if you had a friend who say, hey, I think I'm just going to throw away this mattress. You want my mattress? No. Why would I want your mattress? But we're more than happy to run into a hotel where multiple people are on the same mattress doing terrible things to each other. And we're like, oh, this is the most comfortable bed. This room is amazing. He's like, do you know what happens in hotels? It's like a crime scene, and we can't wait to – this is the best room ever. There have been thousands of people here doing who knows what on the curtains.
And on the bedspread. Never,
yeah,
ever,
yeah,
ever.
I'm like, get me in that thing as fast as possible. I can't wait.
If you brought a blue light into a hotel room, you would never go back to a hotel again.
Well,
ever.
they've done it before in like seedy hotels, and that's like you just don't even watch that show. Well, first of all, don't be in a seedy hotel.
Yeah. Did you see this story, Lance? And we'll do it on the other side because there's talk about a lot of homeschooling going on, and so we're gonna have to. There's a new study out. Mm. Let's see how that works out for you.
Looks like I'll be at McCool's house broadcasting again.
Time to talk about being a champion, and being that champion is what's going to put more money in your pocket. I'm serious. I've talked about this for, I think, a dozen years now, 12 years that I've been with Champion, and it's just unbelievably good at how much money I've saved. And my bills are lower now than they were 12 years ago. And what can you say that about other than the price of oil? Other than that, there's nothing else that you can say, oh, yeah, 12 years ago, that was a lot more expensive. No, nope. Well, here's the deal. Is if you're looking for a great way to get electricity at a lower price, it's Champion. Champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560.
ESPN. 97.5.